4 ULB, Kilo Oscar 4 Uniform Line Papa, and monitoring.
G.
Oh, and how are you today?
Not bad. And yourself?
What?
Hey, well, that's good. So what you been up to? Keeping out of trouble? Study for that general exam? Train to be an NASA astronaut? You're ambitious, I'll give you that.
I started studying for my general quite yet. Hope to get the book shortly and study, but I haven't been up to much lately. And by the way, what is your name?
Glenn, Gulfstream Echo November. Alex, right?
Defender, and just looking for you in my logbook.
Logbook, unless it's a, well, I guess I got a pen I can write on the back of my hand. Are we supposed to have a logbook?
Not required to have one. You never know. They might change that, but for the time being, you can have one, but it's not required. But I just keep a logbook so that way I can look people up in the logbook and, see that I made contact with them before and stuff like that.
According to the Part 97 rules, every transmission, even if it's one word, is supposed to be logged. I don't think anyone keeps logs in that detail. I'm supposed to log time and frequency and call sign and, I don't know what else.
By time, I do log name, power, mode, frequency, call sign, and date, and that's all I log, but, they didn't even bother to put that on my technician class exam, so I don't know how I'm even supposed to know that. I don't know.
I might have been on the exam, but in theory, I think it's a requirement. It's also supposed to be every 10 minutes you're supposed to break in with your call sign. I've heard conversations go on with this repeater for the better part of an hour with no names, no call sign or anything. But it's 2 meters. The rules might be more relaxed.
Are you required to log, or is that a forced anything? Because I try to send my call sign every 10 minutes. I think it was yesterday I talked to a guy that sent his call sign before every transmission. I try to do it every 10 minutes. Sometimes I've gone over, I think. It's just sometimes when you get in good conversation, it's hard to remember to say your call sign.
On HF or even more of a zoo, there's that one spot on 40 meters. I think it's, I think the frequency is 7200 or 7250, which is kind of like the zoo. You'll hear all kinds of transmissions, no call signs, no IDs, things you probably shouldn't say on the air. But, I guess the FCC can't listen to every single frequency at the same time, and they rely on complaints mostly.
That's pretty much a place where people come on with no license, so I guess I better steer clear of that frequency, but it'd be hard for the FCC to monitor every single frequency.
Another repeater, the Mount Mitchell repeater earlier today. Someone used a slur for homosexual, which, I took exception to simply because it's not nice. And when I called him on it, I got an earful, "Oh, you Yankee so-and-so." He didn't actually say any cuss words, but he came close. So I figure it was some old crank, the equivalent of an internet troll.
I don't think I'll ever try calling anybody out. For me, if I ever come across that, all I'm going to do is sign off and switch the frequencies.
On it for one simple reason. This is supposed to be a polite pastime. We don't need homophobic or racial or ethnic slurs on the air. So I immediately broke it. "Excuse me, what's your call sign?" Nah, you know, you've got the equivalent of your internet trolls. The people who go to websites and post nasty comments just because I guess they have nothing better to do.
KU4UOP, for Station ID. I don't think I want to call anybody up because I don't want to get involved in an argument on the air or anything. So, as I said, it's a quick change the frequencies and sign off.
I suppose you could do that. But, you know, I figured it this way. Just a reminder, be polite. And that's all I was saying to the guy. And, you know, he's probably some old crank, probably much older than I am, sits at home and has nothing better to do. And I've been at ham for 30 years, and I can talk in any way I see fit and say anything I want. Well, okay, but we don't have to talk back.
You don't have to. If they're being really rude, you don't have to talk back. So, yeah, I'd rather steer clear of those people, you know. If I, you know, as I said, if I come on, get in that situation, I most likely just sign off. Even, I don't know. I don't know if I'd bother to look up the FCC rule and tell them that they shouldn't, but, yeah.
You're not violating any FCC rules, you're just being a jerk. You're too young to remember a comedian called George Carlin. He did a bit on the 7 words you can't say on television. And I suppose you can't say them on the air either. A funny bit, actually. And you know what? Years ago, CBS actually aired that comedy bit live, along with the 7 words. I assume they paid a rather hefty fine for that, but, you know, it didn't matter to them.
And on TV, if you transmit, well, I guess TV, you know, you say words on TV that you're not supposed to?
And I've seen movies on, you know, broadcast channels where, like, they use the F word because it was part of the movie. And if they were fined, I don't know about it. You know, I guess it all depends, Alexander, on who it is who complains.
Yes, true. So even on TV, is that even... So since, yeah, TV channels are still broadcasting, so does that... That means they still have to follow kind of the same FCC rules as we do, and they're also not allowed to use those words?
And they're also supposed to do Station ID, which I think they do now just as that little logo at the bottom right. But it used to be years ago, every half hour, hour or so. This is WABC, New York City. But now I think you just put that, the station call letters on in a transparent overlay in the lower right, and that probably suffices.
Yeah, how much, I don't know if the FCC, how much they even care about that, but they must care some to keep it somewhat enforcing the rules. Is it just a fine if you, or do they, like, pull licenses? Or, you know, what happens if you, normally happens when you really mess up?
Yeah, I seldom when they pull a license, but... And again, this is before your time. This was during the Super Bowl halftime. Oh, I'm going to say more than 20 years ago. Janet Jackson, you're probably too young to remember her, part of the Jackson, Michael Jackson's sister. Let's just say she had a wardrobe malfunction and her nipple was showing. Oh, boy, that station... Whoever was airing the Super Bowl got a $325,000 fine. You know, it was unintentional, but, you know, somebody must have called CBS or NBC or whoever it was. Hey, I just saw something. You got to, you know, so, again, it depends who complains.
Yep, ooh, you know, yeah, that's why you have to be careful because I plan to stay clear of trouble with the FCC, you know, just kind of obey the rules, but I never even realized there was a rule about logging contacts, so I don't know if anybody does that, so I don't know if I need to worry about doing it.
separate 97 rule book in my head, Alexander. I really don't know if there is. I don't know if it's a rule or a practice. You know, you're supposed to sit by the radio with your notepad and your paper and write down, you know, I guess, time, date, frequency, call sign, whatever. How many people actually do this? Probably they do it more on HF. For the simple reason that HF, you know, you're usually sitting at your desk. The radio is this big, huge thing. The size of a small suitcase. You know, not like a little 2-meter rig or a handheld rig. So I guess maybe that makes it more... Gives it more formality if you're actually sitting in the radio shack talking on the radio as opposed to what we're doing.
Yes, Lark. Every contact mobile, so yeah. On 2 meters, that would be... They'd have a harder time, you know, following through with that rule. People driving their cars talking on the radio because you'd have to hold the mic plus a pencil and paper and log them down, which that'd be a risk while you're driving.
A little recorder like I used to do. Or I think there's an app for that now. But yeah, I don't even know what the logging, you know, shows you what I know. I should know these things, right? Yeah, I don't know exactly what the rule is on logging and how and if and when it's even enforced. But, you know, the rule on profanity is enforced somewhat. And the rule on call signs is enforced probably almost not at all, because I've heard conversations on repeaters like this one go on for an hour or more, and never have I heard a call sign. You know, I guess because people, especially 2 meters, they treat it like it's their own private party line, kind of like Citizens Van used to be.
KG4BFI.
KFI, this is KD2BNG, and sorry, Alex, ready for your call sign.
W4ULP for station ID. Listen, if I jump in there, you can go ahead.
Listening to you folks talk there, and I think I talked to you before there, Alexandria. I believe that's what your name is. Is that correct?
It's Alexander, and call sign is KO4ULP, Kilo Oscar 4, Uniform Line, Papa. And I'm not sure if I made contact. You know, I kind of lose count on who I made contact with and who I didn't. That's why I kind of keep a logbook here. But sometimes they don't log everybody. So, you know, sometimes it's useful and sometimes it's not.
Yeah, you logged me in because my name is Don. But I was you and that other gentleman there was talking and kind of brought back something that, well, you know, Forrest Gump said, stupid is as stupid does. But, That comedian that he was talking about, Carlin, I heard him say something one time. He says, half of the people you meet are stupid, and the other half stupider than they are. And some of those folks that get on the radio and act that way, you don't have to go back to them.
That's what I plan to do, and just to jump off the frequency if I ever come across that. But luckily, I haven't come across that yet, so probably eventually I will, though.
In between you and your the other fellow there talking, I did remember something years back reading about a ham operator out in California that keyed up on the Coast Guard who was trying to help out a sailboat that was out there in the ocean that was in trouble. Kept keying up on them and keying up on them, and they found out who it was, and they went, I guess the FCC sent people out to his house. And they confiscated his radio equipment, and he had to go before a judge, and I can't remember exactly how much the fine was, but it was big. It was close to $100,000, and probation for 5 years, and he couldn't talk on the radio anymore.
Yeah, I think the actual quote from George Carlin is, imagine the stupidest person you know, and then consider the fact that half of them are stupider than that.
That is correct. Y'all go ahead. I'm just, I didn't mean to butt in here. I just heard y'all talking, and just thought I'd put my 2 cents worth in. KG4PFI, this is Don. I'm in Piedmont.
Oh, hey, Don, how you been? KD2BNG, we haven't heard you in a while. You sold me a bunch of radios a couple of years back. Being KI4MLN, you remember him.
And, of course, I'm getting old, and I don't remember what I ate for breakfast. But, if I'd sold you something, I guess I did. I don't remember.
If you know Al, KI4MLN, big guy, does automotive machine work, even though he's always been blind, you remember Al. He was in hospital about a month or two ago. I guess he's out by now. He hasn't been doing too well lately. But, yeah, I haven't heard you. I recognized, as soon as you mentioned your call sign, I said, oh, yeah, it's Don. I should say hi to Don, because we don't often hear you.
Too often, I really don't. But Al, yeah, I remember him. The first time I met him, somebody brought him to one of our ham fests, and that's where I met him. And I understand he was in the hospital with, I'm not sure exactly what it was, a stroke or what it was, but I hope he's okay, because I hadn't heard any updates on him.
This was more than a month ago. In fact, I went to visit him in Pelham, Spartanburg, whatever that hospital is. His favorite hospital. The hospital I brought him to a bunch of times. Yeah, he had his usual heart problems and breathing problems. And this time it was to the point where they had to call ambulance to come get him, because he literally couldn't walk, get out of bed, or whatever. He was there for about 2 weeks. This was more than a month ago. Then from there he went to 2 weeks in some sort of rehab location, I guess to learn how to walk again. And I haven't contacted him in, more than a month. So hopefully he's fine.
Well, Alexandra, go ahead with your party there. I've got a visitor just showed up at the front door, and my next-door neighbor, and I need to go let him in. I got the door locked there. I can see him, but I didn't have it unlocked. KG4PFI, 73.
KP for station ID, and 73s. And, Glenn, I'm still available to talk. I said 73 to the other guy, but, I wouldn't want to interfere with anybody. Don said that I would not want to interfere with any, like, emergency service. I could see why they would, like, make such a big deal out of that one.
Big deal out of that one, because, you know, in a lot of cases there might be life and property at stake, particularly the marine frequencies, marine HF or VHF frequencies. And I'm assuming especially airband frequencies, you know, the aircraft and control towers and that sort of thing. They'll get really, really angry about that.
I don't want to interfere with anybody who's doing that. That was in my ham test, that willful interference to other amateur stations is permitted at no time, so that's even a rule there, too. So, you know, it's a big deal if you interfere with somebody, especially during a crisis, because people's lives could be at stake, and you could really interfere with that.
It involves more than the FCC at that point. That'll get the Coast Guard or the FAA, depending on who it is, showing up at your door. You know, especially other things that are dependent upon for life and safety, like global positioning system. You know, now you don't want to get the Air Force pissed off at you.
I want to do that, but even though you are allowed to, I know Chad, his call sign is KO4NUE, he's actually a part of, like, the Mars program that can help with the Air Force, so in a certain range, the airplanes cannot communicate with the control towers. And he offers for communication for them with his radio. So, you know, in a way, ham operators can really help out the Air Force, though, but you don't want to get on their bad side.
Military affiliate radio service, I assume it's still around. They were much more important 50 or 60 years ago in getting messages from soldiers overseas, like back to their loved ones at home. Yeah, you know, I've got, you know, I've got some military guy in the field in Korea or whatever, and he wants to talk to his wife at home. So through this patchwork of military frequencies and amateur radio frequencies, you know, eventually maybe that message gets somewhere. So yeah, that's Mars, military affiliate radio service. They assist the U.S. military in relaying personal messages to and from soldiers in the field. I guess less important now because the military has more frequencies than they know what to do with. I mean, they have internet access out in the field, so they don't need Mars anymore.
They told you to use it. I think you have to be 18 to join it. I'd like to join, except I think a little bit too young still, so, you know, I think that would be fun because, they still need it, as Chad said, when there's no radio communication. It helps with communicating with other aircraft, like the fueling aircraft needs to, like, fill the fire jet, you know, they're in that area where there's no radio control, so they have to rely on him to pass, like, messages, I think, in between them, something like that. So, you know, I think that'd be fun to help out with in the military. So, you know, I don't know how much they do passing around from the battlefield transmissions. I haven't heard that they even did that. I thought they just, I haven't heard much about it, but it's still around.
Many years ago, you know, a soldier in the field would go to the radio room in his unit and contact regional command in that area, and they would pass that message on to some amateur radio operator nearby, who would pass it to some other amateur radio operator, who would pass it to some stateside radio or military base or whatever, and eventually, as I said, you know, the military now, it's like we've got satellite TV and internet in the field. We've got 1,000 communication channels, so it's less important than it was. Anyway, let me take a break here. Let me go pick up the pizza, and I'll be right back in 10 minutes. KD2BNG.
Each anyway, so 7-3s. This is KU4ULP, and I'm clear.
Talk to you later. This is KD2BNG. 73s, you have a good one.